I realized since this was spring break Sunday that our attendance would be a little bit low, but I don't really think it's that much low, a little bit. We do know, though, of several of our families who are traveling with their children over this spring break. Some are even leaving later today, and it is our prayer that they find safety on their travels. If they are gone for a Sunday, we pray that they're able to find a congregation to worship with in spirit and in truth. And though we wish we were with them, we'll be here waiting for them when they get back. In a moment, we're going to use part of the Sermon on the Mount for our text. But to introduce that passage, I want to read another passage. This one, the very last verse from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 16. Here Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, the word I want to glean from that passage of Scripture is the word steadfast. Steadfast. Now, synonyms for the word steadfast are words like persevere and persist. And if you looked it up in an English dictionary, either in book or on the internet, you would find that to be steadfast means that you show tenacity and you show determination. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about to the Corinthians. He wants them to be steadfast, to show determination, to persevere, to persist, because times are difficult, to be immovable, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, our text comes from the 7th chapter of Matthew, the last chapter that Jesus preaches what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Coincidentally, we start with verse 7 here. So, Matthew 7, 7 and following. I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, being physical, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Brethren, I would imagine most all of us remember the story of King Midas. I know it has a terrible ending. Let's don't go that far. Let's just remember the theory, at least, of King Midas. King Midas was the king of a Grecian city in the 8th century BC, and everything he touched turned to gold. I know he touched his daughter, and we're not going there. Just remember that part. Everything he touched turned to gold. Have you ever known anyone like that? Where it seemed in a positive way that everything they touched turned to gold. They were always popular in school. Always made good grades. You never saw them study. They would always win the games. They'd always win the sports. They grew up and married the most beautiful or the most handsome man. Started a business. It was a huge success. Sold it and had just a tremendous amount of wealth. Don't you hate people like that? No, we don't. Well, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, spiritually speaking, you and I can be just like that. Spiritually speaking, everything we touch can turn to spiritual gold if we're steadfast, if we're persistent, if we persevere, if we show tenacity and determination. Brethren, steadfastness is not only implied, it's taught in these passages. In fact, if you would study the Greek language, you would find that this particular passage, Jesus is talking about not only asking once, but having our life a life of asking God. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. No matter what happens, just don't give up. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be persevere and persist. Show tenacity and determination. And especially in our prayers. You know, brethren, I've never been involved with a congregation that was not what I would classify a praying congregation. But I've never seen a congregation that was more prayerful than this congregation in Port Lavaca. In fact, it amazes me. We will receive cards and letters from people outside of the county, and they say, "Will you please pray for us?" That is our reputation. I got an email from my real good friend in Singapore. If you remember, his daughter was the one that was born with a deep cleft lip. She's had 8 surgeries in 12 years to correct that. She had her last surgery the other day, and he remembered how we had prayed for he and his daughter, and he thanked us for our prayers. Brethren, we need to be steadfast in our prayers. We cannot give up. We cannot give up. We need to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Now, Jesus concluded that context by saying, if our Heavenly Father who is in heaven knows how to give good gifts to His children, then so do we. That's the illustration He uses. And He will give those gifts to those who ask. Now, Jesus taught a lot. Jesus felt strongly about prayer. In fact, this is not in the lesson, but you remember the time the disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, we want to be men of prayer. Teach us to pray." Well, Luke records some of Jesus' most detailed teaching on prayer. Let me read 2 of these. From Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5, Jesus said to them, "Which of you have a friend? And if you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And if the friend says, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, I cannot rise and give to you,' I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "though he will not rise and give to you because it is your friend, yet because of your steadfastness, he will rise and give it to you." Because of your perseverance, because of your persistence, he will rise and give to you. In Luke 18, beginning with verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "There was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And the judge would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, because of this widow's steadfastness," her perseverance, her persistence, "I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." But brethren, prayer is not the only thing in which we need to be steadfast. What about our Bible study? You know, years ago, some of our religious friends, and they were our friends, would joke about our Bible study. They say, "Well, you never talk about how you feel or what you think or your opinion. All you ever want to talk about is what the Bible says." And they were exactly right. And from that type of mindset, a joke arose. But I really don't think it was a joke. Once upon a time, there was a courtroom scene and they had lost the Bible to swear people in with. And so one of the lawyers was calling for a mistrial, and the judge said to the audience, "Is anyone out here a member of the Church of Christ?" And a few held their hand up, and he motioned to one man, "Come forward. Everybody just put your hand on his head. There's as much Bible in there as there is in the Bible." You know, sad to say, We don't hear that joke anymore. Is it because there's not as much Bible in our head as there used to be? We used to be called Bible thumpers. I bet some of our young people don't even know what that means. That means when we were talking to somebody about the Bible, we said, this is what the Bible says. I know that's what you believe, but this is what the Bible says. And we would thump our Bibles. We don't receive the call Bible thumper anymore because, brethren, we just don't thump the Bible anymore. They're just Christians. They're our brothers and sisters that just don't feel compelled anymore to know what the Bible says. And it should not be that way. Christians who are steadfast in their studies realize the benefit of Bible study. And that gives me a chance to make a free commercial for our congregation. Brethren, I thoroughly enjoy preaching to this congregation. I get to do that 2 times a week. But I will assure you, you as an individual of this congregation will learn far more Bible in our Bible classes than you will listening to me preach. I encourage you, just get up 1 hour earlier on Sunday morning. We have classes for all ages. We have 2 classes for adults on Sunday morning. Please begin to come. Some of you who can come on Wednesday night have decided not to. Once again, we have classes for all ages. We have a very robust study here in the auditorium with adults. Please come to our Bible studies. I assure you, you will learn far, far, far more Bible in those Bible classes than you do from listening to a preacher preach. Those of us who are steadfast in our desire to know the Bible realize that's where the blessings of God are from. And one of my favorite passages, maybe one of yours also, Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1, the first 3 verses, David says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that does not sit in the seat of scornful, that does not stand in the way of sinners, but that man's delight is in the law of the Lord. That's where he finds his delight. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, in verse 97, David again writes, oh, how I love thy law. It is my daily meditation. However, prayer and Bible study are not the only things that need our steadfastness. What about personal evangelism? Now, brethren, as the preacher here, let me say how proud we as a congregation should be about our recent participation with the Sojourners. I realize some work, some are ill, some just cannot make it, but for the most part, almost everyone in the congregation in some way supported the Sojourn and the gospel meeting. And brethren, the Sojourners will be the first to tell you, and they'll be blunt about it, they have never been involved with a congregation that is more helpful, more kind, more considerate, more thoughtful, more eager, and I could go on and on because they do, than the congregation here in Port Lavaca. And we can pat ourselves on the back because of that. However, they were here 2 weeks, and there are 52 weeks in every year. You know, if a farmer planted a crop, and then in time of harvest, he harvested that crop, and then he decided, I'm just never going to plant another crop again, we would be hard-pressed to say he's a successful farmer. We've got to keep on planting the seed, which is the Word of God. We've got to keep on harvesting His harvest. We must be steadfast. And something I learned from David Johnson's class, and I hope we will have that class every year when we have the Sojourners back. Something I learned from his class, I'm sure you picked up on it as well. He said in all of his years of personal evangelism, the reason he thinks there's a lot of failure is because we just give up too quickly. We take the message. Maybe we knock the door. Maybe we call a friend and they aren't eager and overly eager. And so we say, okay, they're not eager, so I'm just never going to go back again. We cannot give up, and we certainly cannot give up too quickly. Now let's look again at our text. Jesus says that God delights in giving good gifts to his children. And for illustration, he uses from the simple to the most grander. You know, brethren, as a parent, I enjoyed giving my children gifts. I enjoyed on Christmas or on their birthdays or even at other times watching their face just light up just because I gave them a simple gift. And now that I'm a grandfather, I feel the same way. Maybe even a little bit deeper, knowing that I somehow taught my children the right way to teach their children. There's just something special about giving gifts. Yes, I enjoy getting them, but I enjoy giving them even more. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But brethren, on a far, far grander scale, it delights God Almighty to give His children more precious gifts than I could ever give to my children or grandchildren. And the epitome of those precious gifts, I know you're thinking His Son, that's accurate. But it's actually what His Son gave for us. He gave His life on the cross. God allowed Him to die on the cross. He knew what was going to happen to Jesus on the cross. And He still loved us. And He still delighted in giving us that gift, the ultimate gift, His Son who brought us salvation. Now, of course, there are other gifts that God gives us, even on a daily basis. He gives us our physical necessities of life, the food that we eat, and the clothing that we wear. Also in the Sermon on the Mount, He talked about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He also gives us a beautiful planet on which to live until He comes back and takes us home. He has given us a direct communication line straight from our heart right to the very throne of Almighty God. He's given us so very, very much. But listen to what Jesus says in John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit as I go. He's talking to His disciples. So today He would be talking to us as Christians. He says, if you remain in Me and in My words, that's the word that I have spoken. That would be His teaching. If we remain in Jesus, if we apply His teaching to our life, and His teaching remains in us, we can ask whatever we want, and it will be done. But there are conditions. We have to be in Him. We have to remain in Him. His teaching must be in us. 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have what we ask of Him. We must ask according to His will, which assumes that we know His will. As James writes in James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. King James says you ask amiss that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We don't ask for selfish pleasures. We ask according to God's will. Brethren, in spite of that, I think many of us simply do not enjoy answered prayers because we simply do not ask. God is not too busy. God is not too sleepy. His hands are not so short that He cannot reach us, nor His ears dull that He cannot hear our prayers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let us be steadfast. Let us be immovable. Let us always be abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now let's take our psalm books and open up to that page. Number 878. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so as we stand and sing this song. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way. Prepare us a dwelling place there. Are y'all doing? I thought y'all might be coming.
Yeah, we just wanted to.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of this blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for a blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. In the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessing that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Please be seated for just a moment. I feel quite sure everyone has had an opportunity to meet Darren and Christy, but they would like to, with their children, place their membership with this congregation. They use a word, pledge our membership. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful word. We have pledged our membership to the Lord, and we are His congregation. So let me introduce Darren Gulke, his wife Christy. The children are not here today. Son Ethan, son Nate, and daughter is Chrissy. Creasy, I'm not going to remember that, trust me, but I'm sure going to try. Creasy. They are normally with them, but they're not here today. They want to thank everyone for being so welcoming and so helpful. We feel the presence of God here strongly, and we need God in our lives every day. And we know that the key to keeping a family strong and together is through Jesus Christ, and that is amen. Thanks again. We love you all, and God bless. We welcome them to our number. I'll be taking them to the back of the foyer, back of the auditorium after the closing song, during the closing prayer. Be sure and come by and greet them, and I'm sure most of us have already met them before. Let's sing one verse of number 881. One verse of number 881. And then we will be dismissed in prayer. Shall we be standing, please?
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this Lord's Day, which you've so richly blessed us with. Father, we pray for that we may carry Shan's message out into the community with us, and that we stay close to the Bible, that we read the Bible as often as we possibly can. Father, we're so richly blessed to welcome our new members today. And Father, we pray for all of our members that are on spring break, that they're traveling, that you give them safe passage to and from their destinations. And Father, once again, we want to thank you for this day, and be with us and keep us safe until we come back to the next appointed time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.